Today's session is how a man makes the money work at home. I'm so glad that my wife and I have sat down and talked through so much of these things lately. I don't feel like a hypocrite talking to you about this because the financial advice that we've received from Dave Ramsey and from people in our church that are helpful in this area, we're just grateful to God because these things work. And this is the session from the vantage point of men's fraternity. So I hope it will help you, but please do not limit yourself to this podcast, this teaching lesson today. There is a wealth of information out there, no pun intended, that can help you in this difficult topic. But once this area of your life is under control, there's so much freedom that comes as a result. So point number one, big picture perspectives. A, money promises happiness, but the facts say otherwise. I mean, let's face it, you watch famous rich people that commit suicide, that are not happy. So what are we to take from that? Obviously, it calms the nerves, but that's a Joe Lewis quote. But the reality is there are so many that are pursuing it over and over and over again, and it doesn't bring happiness. Getting control of your money brings happiness. So money promises happiness, but the facts say otherwise. B, what couples argue about the most and longest is money. And that's a fact too. So if you're married, you've come to that realization. If you're not married yet, you will. And so to get this area of your life nailed down is a wonderful thing. The reasons why that, they argue. One, we have little, if any, practical financial instruction to draw on. Few of us were taught money management practices at home. I know I wasn't, and I'm not the rare one. It's a blessing when parents have sat down with their children to do this, and we try to do it with couples before they get married. Few of us were taught money management practices in school. I know I took consumer ed, but it was for, I think, a quarter. It wasn't even a semester. And the reality is some of the classes I did take in school, I use less than this. So you, those of you that say you don't need math, this is an aspect of math that is definitely needed. Therefore, most couples address their financial issues through a painful trial and error process. Experience, some say, experience is the best teacher. It actually can be the hardest teacher. So if you could learn without trial and error, why not? Number two, we also have differing financial personalities. You have the numbers conscious personality. This is the person who keeps the eye on the checkbook, constantly aware of what is going on. And then you have the carefree personality. And many times, God puts these two together. One loves the strengths in the other. The carefree loves the fact that there's somebody that has their eye on the checkbook. And the person with the eye on the checkbook sometimes looks at that carefree person and loves the spontaneity in them. But you get those two together and arguments can arise. And for the reasons above, the Bible speaks long and loud on money with a wisdom that works. Roman numeral number two, high yield money practices for couples. First of all, we need to A, face the facts. Ephesians 4:25 says this, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." And so, number one is know what you really spend, to take the time and write down everything and see where the money went. This can be painful, and there will be charts that are available if needed. I will post them on social media and get them out to you if needs be, but you could look up these kind of charts online that would help you with budgeting. But so to take the time and know what you really spend. And then number two, tracking. Track it. See where those things go. See what money is being spent on. B, decide together as a couple where you want your money to go before you spend it. Amos 3:3 says this, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet?" You walk together because you've agreed to walk together. At any point when you're walking with somebody, if they decide or you decide to stop, you've stopped agreeing on walking, whatever the case, you aren't going to walk together. And so decide together as a couple where you want your money to go before you spend it. Number one, look at the facts and budget out of this reality. That goes back to those charts. You can get those online. Like I said, there is so much available to write down those things. And a budget is only as good as you keeping it. And number two, most couples will need some outside help getting started with a budget. So understand that. And don't let that bother you. It's good to look to people for wisdom as opposed to pooled ignorance. You just stay the same. You do this with all aspects of your life that you want to get better. So look for outside help. Number three, and this is important, never spend money that has not been pre-approved. If you start to do that or you do that, it creates a lot of problems. Letter C, limit debt. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender." Now, the good debt would be your home debt. That's not a bad thing to invest in. But the questionable debt, number two, the questionable debt, that's things like car loans, student loans, home equity loans. And those, so that could be good or ugly. That could be things that later you would regret. And there's story after story about each of these as you look at your bill situation. And number three, there's the ugly part of debt, and that is credit cards. And Dave Ramsey stresses not to have credit cards, to use a debit card, because it's like a checkbook. You know, okay, this is done. And when you don't have any more money, you don't have anything more to spend. And so how are you doing in this area? And then what are you going to do about it? Roman numeral number three, a winning formula for managing your money at home. A, this budget formula should be managed by Mr. or Mrs. Numbers Conscious. Remember that? There's one that's the carefree, and then there's one that's the number conscious. This budget formula should be managed by Mr. or Mrs. Numbers Conscious, because that could be you or your wife. And here's the formula. MTH minus G minus S minus 1/12 IE minus CA minus RMB equals DM. And I'll repeat that again. MTH minus G minus S minus 1/12 IE minus CA minus RMB equals DM. So let's work through those together. MTH is monthly take-home income. Okay, so everything that comes in each month, the money that you make. G is the money we give away. So you start off with giving. Proverbs 22, verse 9. "Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor." And are you a person that is willing to give right from the get-go, right from the start. A lot of times people think about giving after they've taken care of everything else. But we need to regularly give some of our money away. Number two, the Christian honors God for blessing him by giving a regular tithe. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all you produce. And so when you are a person that is regularly giving to your local church, that's the tithes, and then the offerings are beyond that. We have opportunity to give to our church, but we also give to missionaries and other charitable organizations beyond our regular church giving. That's the offerings. If you get to the point where you always give based on what is left, you will always sacrifice that. And I want to tell you from personal testimony, we have been blessed by God. I cannot believe how blessed we are of God because of being able to give to others. Let's keep going. Number three, for every man, Christian or not, giving is a character builder that counteracts corrupting greed. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10 says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that many have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs. So every man, Christian or not, giving also connects us to helping others, which is a major ingredient in personal happiness. Are you willing to take those steps? And then it also connects us to a greater purpose than ourselves, which is a second major ingredient in personal happiness. So let's keep going back to our formula. S is what we pay to ourselves for saving for the future. Number one, save something out of every check. Number two, a healthy monthly savings amount would be 10%. Would you be willing to say no to yourself right now? This is that die to yourself now so that you can live later. 10%. Back to the formula. 1/12 IE is what we pay to ourselves for irregular expenses that come due throughout the year. Okay? One would be an example of quarterly car insurance, Christmas expenses, school tuition, repairs, etc. This is that emergency situation that Ramsey talks about. And then number two, open a freedom account. You have that set aside, that emergency, that thing that can be used when needs be. And then CA, back to the formula, this is that thing for Mr. or Mrs. Carefree's monthly allowance. And we pay out to bless and boundary our mate. So they have something set aside. Could be you or it could be your spouse. But that's set aside. So that's your fun money. That's your mad money. That's something you can use. And when you're done with it, you're done. When she's done with it, she's done. Back to the formula. RHB are the regular monthly bills we pay. And that's in your budget. And you have to decide on what those things are. The things that are definitely needed. And then back to the formula. DM is the discretionary money we have left for ourselves as a couple. Number one, couples need to decide in their budget which areas should get this DM, discretionary money, and how much. Number two, young married couples or couples who lack financial discipline may need to put these amounts in cash envelopes and spend out of them to discipline their discretionary spending. So that's something that we have done, set aside, and paying in cash, setting money aside in cash, makes it difficult. When you buy something with credit cards, it's plastic. It's not real. You use a credit card and then you get it back. You don't lose anything in that transaction in your brain. When you have to pay something in cash, you're handing them some money, and sometimes you get some change back. But as you hand it to them, you're letting go of something. And there's something psychologically about that. Number three, the numbers conscious personality watches over the DM when it stays in the checkbook. Okay? Well, what about credit cards? Number one, this is so important, and there has to be honesty. No charging unless we both agree. This is where communication comes in. This is where there's not going to be argument because there's truth. And number two, relinquish any cards you can't control. Cut them up, hand them over, and that's just the case. And then lastly, what about God? Happy is the man that discovers that he is not alone in life. So after all these things are said and done, are you stopping and thinking about the fact that you have a creator who cares about you, who says to us, the love of money is the root of all evil. I know that. It can be something that's used for good or evil. It's amoral. Roman numeral number four, four musts for the married man concerning money. A, accept responsibility for sound financial practices in your home, whether you are the numbers conscious personality or not. Number one, it reduces stress and conflict between you and your wife. Number two, it draws your wife's respect and admiration. Wouldn't it be great if she feels financially secure? Doesn't have to be rich, but financially secure. Number three, it brings security to your wife, and that's a top feminine need, and freedom to your marriage. And then four, it requires the paradox principle, which we've talked about before. It's dying a little bit now so I can live more later. B, make sure you've provided for the future for your family. Number one, have you got a will? Have you sat down and talked about that? And number two, have you dealt with insurance, whether it be about death or disability? Letter C, provide a safe place for keeping all your important financial information. Number one, put everything in a fireproof container at home or in a safety deposit box at a bank. And then this is a great idea. Put a love letter inside. If something were to happen to you, that's the first thing that your spouse sees. You are the conscious person. You wrote down how much you love them and how much you cared. What a beautiful thing. And there's an example of that that you can also look up online to help you out if you're not a good letter writer. D, keep growing in your financial understanding. Number one, read good books. There's so much out there. Two, seek wise outside counsel. We're blessed to have a gentleman in our church that helps us with these things. Number three, get into a couple's financial study group. It might be difficult, but what a great thing to learn. If this is an issue in your life that you need help with, what better steps to take? Well, questions for your small group. Number one, which of the two financial personality types would you say you are? What about your wife or your girlfriend? Can you explain that? Number two, what is the one financial area you struggle with most? And explain that. Number three, what was the most important thing you heard today? And tell why it was so meaningful to you. Number four, what one thing could you do now to take a step up with money? And explain that. And number five, what is one strategic financial move you could add to your 10 key moves when you're thinking about those for your future. Sit down with a sample budget worksheet, work through it, write that love letter to your wife, and allow God to use these financial principles in your daily walk.